So again, these are selections from Scripture, some New Testament and some Old. The first one is John chapter 3, verse 34. For God sent him, and he speaks God's words, since he gives the Spirit without measure. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the Lord's mind, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 41. I will take delight in them to do what is good for them, and with all my heart and mind, I will faithfully plant them in this land. May God bless that reading of his word.
So we're going to talk about praying through the Spirit. And you might feel that it's all been a bit breathless up to this point. I know it's a very busy time of year. And you might also feel somewhat like you're in an airplane that is circling, waiting for clearance to land on Romans 8, 26. Because we've been circling the airport, haven't come in for an Avalon landing yet on this verse. And today, I just want to go slow, give background, give context, review a little bit, since it's been a little break for us here. I never liked it when I would come back after the holiday when I was in college, and the professor would come in and blow my doors off with a big lecture. So you don't want me to blow your doors off today, right? Does anybody want me to blow their doors off? Because I can do that. Oh, Nathan wants his doors blown off. Okay. Okay. So, and Dave does too. I'm very much taken with this topic and what the Holy Spirit has done. You know, we're going to talk about praying through the Spirit. We're going to talk about Romans 8, 26 and the magnificence of that verse. But to understand it, we have to understand the function of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to understand this forgotten God and what he does for us, because understanding that, we'll understand what he does for us in prayer. So we took Romans chapter 8 as our flagship. To me, you've heard me say, Romans chapter 8 is the most powerful, to me, the most powerful chapter in all of Scripture. And we did the first 17 verses of Romans chapter 8. And what those verses are about, Paul says, this is how the Spirit enables God's people in the first 17 verses. And we went over that a few weeks ago, and I don't know if you still have that handout, but there are 15 things in those 17 verses that the Spirit does, what the Spirit's function in the life of God's people. And I liken that to the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents is, as you know, the king goes away, and before he goes, he bestows upon his workers what in the parable are called talents. Now understand, those aren't talents like we think of today. It's not like a talent to sing, or a talent to play music, a talent to draw. The talents in that parable, understand, are the wealth and power of the king. And the wealth and power of the king is given to the workers who don't have any wealth or power. And the reason they're given the talents, the wealth and power of the king, is to produce a fruit. Something is expected. And Jesus, when he told that parable, says, well, the one who received 10 talents put it to work and produced fruit with those 10 talents. And then the one that had 2 talents, he also put it to work. The amount of talents, the amount of power and enablement of the master was commensurate with the ability of those that it was given to. But there was a singular expectation of the king. You're to produce fruit with these talents. Something's to happen. And the one who received the talent and buried it, well, they have a bad end in that parable. Jesus said the king came back, he was furious with that one. There are 15 fruits in the first 17 verses of Romans chapter 8. 15 different fruits, all derived from the same talent. The talent is the Holy Spirit. You all have been given a talent. You have, as Peter said, because you've repented, he says in the second chapter of Acts, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the talent. Please understand that. So you have it. You have the gift. You have the enablement for a reason. The Spirit, the talent that you've received, is not the fruit. Do you see that? The fruit is produced when you immediately take the talent in the parable and you put it to work. Now, Paul mentions several fruits of the Spirit, doesn't he? Famously in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control are fruits of having the talent. But there are many more. And then we went to, so you hold that in your heads. I'm teaching you to fish. Hold that in your heads. If you track with me, by the way, I think something really good will come from this. You know, we met with a couple of our friends last week, and Bob and Melanie, and Melanie is, I call her a podtitioner. She listens to my messages. And she remembers I said a few weeks ago that I had received an oblique criticism that, you know, Tim, it's hard to follow you. It's just too much. You're too much into the weeds. And Melanie said, don't ever stop doing that, because God's people, there is a niche of God's people that need and want that depth. And I think that I can't do anything else, because we have the basics down, don't we? And now it's time to, like Jesus said, go out deeper and throw your net in. So back to Paul. Then we did Romans 18 to 25. After Paul, first of all, talks about the fruits of the Spirit in the first 17 verses. Then 18 to 25, he you could think he veers off. Paul, you just went off the rails, because he starts talking about the inheritance of God's people. What in the world connection, Paul, is there between the enablement of God's people with the Spirit, the talents, the fruit that they're to produce with these talents? Paul, what are you doing? Why are you now talking about the inheritance of God's people? Poor old Paul. He can't keep a thought in his mind. He's just jumping all over. He's all over the map. No, that is so wrong. Paul doesn't write that way. Every word that Paul writes is connected and has a reason. So, 18 to 25, he starts talking about the inheritance of God's people. And he relates it to the talents and the fruit of the Spirit. So we have to follow Paul's entire sweep of thought to get this. So the inheritance of God's people in 18 to 25, Romans chapter 8. Well, he's cryptic, but he does say this about it. Two things. It's going to be a glorious revelation. Your inheritance, my inheritance as a person of God is going to be, he says, it's going to be a glorious revelation. Get these two words. To us and in us. Now that's where the Holman lets us down. I'm a Holman aficionado. The oldest Bible publishers in the country. They do dynamic equivalency and formal equivalency, and they put it together. Very readable, very scholarly. But here's where the Holman lets us down. Because in the Holman it says that it's going to be a glorious revelation to us, which is true. But other translations say it's going to be a glorious revelation in us. In other words, there's something in you that is latent, hidden, cryptic. There is something in you that is straining to get out as a result of you having the talent. And when that is revealed, when it's finally revealed to you what you really are as a child of God, as a son or daughter of God, when that is revealed to you, it is what is already in you. It's there. Already you're kings, Paul says. Already you're ruling. Already. And when that finally dawns on us and we finally get it and we step back and we look at one another and we see the glory that was hidden, it's going to be glorious. So I love that concept. I love the concept of that latent, hidden talent in each one of us, bestowed upon each one of us by the Holy Spirit, and that we don't know what that's going to look like, but it's going to be glorious. Secondly, when that happens, there's going to be a downstream effect. There's going to be an immediate downstream effect. God's people are going to be revealed as genuine sons and daughters of God. And immediately downstream, there's going to be a glorious release of creation from the bondage of corruption. Glorious revelation upstream results in a glorious release downstream. There's going to be an immediate effect. But ever and always, remember, that's in you now. That mandate is in you. So what is going to be this revelation that is in us and to us? In us and to us. Two things. Remember these two words? Form and function. Form and function. You can do what you want. Might write that down. It'll help you. If you want to know what the glorious revelation is going to be in you and to you, two things are going to be revealed about you: form and function. First, function. What is your function supposed to be? Because that's going to be redeemed and it's going to be revealed to you. It is simply this: the redemption of our mandate is going to be accomplished by and through, follow this, this is kind of a pithy sentence, you're up to it. The revelation of your mandate is going to be accomplished by and through the unfettered and unlimited access to and employment of, wow, this is really convoluted, the talent within you. You will have unfettered, unhindered access to the Spirit's power within you. See, you have that power now, and I do too. But I also have the Adamic nature. You do too. And that Adamic nature, not atomic, Adamic nature, fights against the Holy Spirit being revealed in my life. Now, you struggle with that? But when our mandate is redeemed, this is the revelation of our glory. The mandate, when the mandate, our job, our function is redeemed, no longer will we have to deal with the Adamic nature. And therefore, that talent that the Master has given us, we have complete access to it. Nothing's going to stand in our way. Look at John 3:34. For God sent him, he's talking about, John the Baptizer is talking about Jesus. For God sent him, and he speaks God's words. I'm going to ask you to do something. Be annoyed at me if you want. If you are annoyed with me, get in line. Circle, he speaks God's words, and write above that, fruit. That's fruit. Why does he speak God's words? Since he gives the Spirit without measure. There's the talent, right? Circle, he gives the Spirit without measure, and above that, write talent. That's the wealth. That's the power. The talent is the Spirit without measure. The fruit is, because he has the Spirit without measure, he speaks God's words. He gives, see, we've been sent, like Jesus, we've been sent. And to keep this correlated with our inheritance, the destiny that's going to be revealed to us is the destiny that we used to have. And in Genesis chapter 2, God takes the man that he had created, he places him in a garden, and he says two words: work it, watch over it. Work it, watch over it. And the reason paradisal man was able to prosecute that mandate was because at that point, they had unlimited, unfettered access to the talent. So we, our inheritance, that's going to be in us already and going to be revealed to us one day, our mandate is the same. We're still to work it and watch over it. Still. Yet the Adamic nature that hates God's creation, and hates you, by the way, that hates God's creation does everything possible to stop us from accessing the talent in order to carry out this very daunting task, to work it and watch over it. How are you doing with that? Some days I think I'm doing okay. And some days I crash and burn. But ever and always my mandate has stayed the same. And I am looking forward to the day, the glorious day, when my mandate is completely redeemed. And that is going to be accomplished because you are going to have unlimited, you're going to have, what's John say? Spirit without measure. You're going to have the spirit without measure. There's no end. There's no end to what this power is available to you. It's there ever and always, and you can access it. And you're going to access it, and you're going to take that talent, and it's going to produce a fruit. And the fruit that's going to be produced is you're going to work it and watch over it. There's the redemption of function. Got it? Function. Now, what about form? That will be the redemption of our bodies, our soma, our sarx, our sinew and bones, and our muscle. We will have a glorious revelation, watch this, in us and to us. It's already in there. Paul said, 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, he said, we know that if this house, a tent that we live in, is torn down, we have already a building from God, not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. Is that not, does that hook you like me? Why does that hook you, Tim? Well, okay, I'm glad, since you asked. It hooks because Paul is insinuating there, it's already there. Your redeemed physicality is already somewhere existing. It's not going to be revealed until that day, but it's there. It's stored. It's kept. C.S. Lewis says, on that day, speaking of this passage, if you would happen to run into a redeemed body, you would want to fall down and worship it. You know, we look at the human form, and the human form without blemish, a human form that is without, that's why we clamor and claw for, you know, the beautiful people. Well, that, there's nothing wrong with that, because that is deep within us. Because the human form is supposed to be beautiful, supposed to be attractive. And yet, I have to balance my expectations of this redeemed human form against what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, forget it. You can't imagine it. It has never entered into your mind. Eye hasn't seen it. Ear hasn't heard it. What God has planned for those who love him. So I'm thinking of, and I know a lot about anatomy, and I know a lot about physiology. And I'm thinking, what must these bodies be like that we can't even imagine? That's going to be so glorious that when you run into it, if you run into a glorious, redeemed body on the street, you would want to fall down and worship it. Why is that necessary? Form and function. We've redeemed the function. Here you have unlimited access to the Spirit. Follow me, track with me. This will be good for you. Pay attention. You're going to have unlimited access to the Spirit without measure, with the expectation of a fruit, but you're going to need a different body to handle the power. Or you're going to go all over the map. You're going to need a redeemed body suitably transformed to take up the task and to wield the power associated with that. So you're going to need a new body. A redeemed body, I should say. It's going to be the same body, resurrected, changed materially. Now, I have a thing. It's a Timism. Discard it if you want. That the point of redemption, when the Holy Spirit comes into us and we receive the talent, the gift of the Spirit, I have a very, I think, reasonable belief that there's something also physiologically imparted into our bodies. Can you go there with me? There's something physiologically, in my opinion, that is put into us that on that day will be the yeast that'll trigger the transformation. I think that's pretty cool. I could be wrong. Okay, so look at Romans 8:23. See, you're getting background. I have a feeling that you're getting this. I hope. This didn't come easy. Okay, Look at 8:23 about the redemption of our bodies. Here's where you circle. Here's where you're going to get annoyed at me again. And not only that, Paul says, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, there's a circle, who have the Spirit as the first fruits. You see how Paul can put different names to the talent? Now he's calling it the first fruit. He's calling the Holy Spirit the first fruit. There's the talent. There's the power. We also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption. If you don't think I do the circling, so you know, here, I do. See, look at that. I do. I need to. It helps me. Maybe it'll help you. Now you circle the redemption of our bodies. That's the fruit. Got it? He just calls the talent a different name here. He calls it the first fruits. It's still the Holy Spirit. And in this instance, the fruit is a redeemed body. In the instance above in John 3:34, the fruit was speaking God's words. So you see, the talent that you have and I have is for a reason. You're to produce fruit by putting it to work. And one day, there'll be total redemption of the mandate of our job. Work it and watch over it. You'll be enabled to do that. And one day, there'll be total redemption of our physicality, our bodies. Because we're so hampered physically now. No one knows that better than I do. Not just vocationally, although I see it every day. Vocationally, I see people hampered because of physical constraints, because of injury, illness, degenerative condition, name it. And it directly affects how they function. So we struggle with that. We struggle with the fact that our bodies are so susceptible to so many things. Imagine what you'd be able to do with perfect health. Imagine your productivity with perfect health. Imagine your productivity with no degenerative condition in your body. Nothing pulling against you, nothing distracting you from your job, from what you want to do. What kind of a husband would you be? What kind of a wife would you be? What kind of an employee would you be? What kind of a child would you be? What kind of a parent would you be? Taking away the struggle against the nits and the dragons that affect our physicality every single day. That's what Paul's talking about here. And that's where we're headed. And that is the glorious revelation that is going to be in us and to us, that when that happens, the downstream immediate effect is going to be all of creation is going to have a glorious release from their own bondage of corruption. And so creation is eagerly straining and waiting for this day because they're under the poor management of their overlords right now that are hampered because of hampered mandate and hampered physicality. And that's all going to be going away, Paul says in 18 to 25. He says that's all going away. Okay, I said I wasn't going to blow your doors off, and maybe I just cracked the hinges a little bit today. So I think this was enough of a background. I think that if you stay here, plugged in with this, you're going to get something good over the next few weeks. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, bless these words. Give us the talent. Amen.